Welcome to the Golf Legends Podcast, where we cover the champions and major winners of golf. Your hosts and main contributors are Dustin and Chad. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back, Golf Legends Podcast. How you doing today, Dustin?
I'm doing pretty good. A little cold day today, but I mean, you got to say, we played a hell of a tournament on Super Bowl Sunday, which we found out that we apparently need golf handicaps to really compete with anyone. But which
we really would have. We would have been up in the money probably, because we actually played pretty well. Man. Our foursome was good, but it was cold as hell.
It was so cold.
So windy.
So we learned that we should probably be playing tournaments in the summer, or at least late spring.
It was fun, though.
It was a great time.
We could have been more prepared. But
it was a great time. So we, after a couple weeks off, we are going to be covering today Sam Snead.
Yeah. Good old Sam Snead. He was he's one of the trifecta. Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson were all born real close together in the same year.
Yeah. So, and we covered Byron and we'll be doing Hogan shortly, but man, that's a group of three. I don't think you want to walk up on.
Sam Snead of everybody that we've covered, he's probably the best golfer that we've covered.
Yeah, I think between the three, we call consistency between the three of them. Just true, utter dominance and consistency. Yeah.
He's most well known for his, which is still a record intact, is his 82 official PGA Tour wins. That's the main thing. Like,
I mean,
if you're on TV and they show Nicholas
Tiger, I think the closest one to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a high 70s.
Yeah, I don't know what Nicholas has, but I know Tiger. They keep saying he's trying to march towards it, obviously, with all the new swing and everything.
Yeah,
so
he played professional golf for the better part of 50 years. Wow. So and that was in the before, you know, there was the senior tour and stuff. So
man,
he just played and was still competitive into his 60s.
Jeez. So we have so he was born May 27th, 1912. He passed away on May 23rd, 2002. So I mean we have another 90-year-old, right? I mean, am I right on that? Like,
yeah,
folks, golf is keeping you alive. Yeah. I mean, man, woman, all of it. I mean, whatever they're doing, being outside is keeping them alive.
It's the liquid of life.
Jeez. Yeah.
So yeah, he was born in Ashwood, Virginia, the youngest of six kids, five of them brothers. And he was actually born when his mom was 47. So his parents were quite a bit older than, you know, what typical families are structured around nowadays.
So we got he started golf with his older brother, Homer. So he the family had some form of land. Cow
and chicken farm. Yeah.
Cow and chicken farm. And he just decided to fashion his own clubs, him and Homer, I imagine, and just hit things into the grass.
Swamp maple limbs they just started belting balls across their farm, and he got a caddying job when he was seven.
How do we get jobs like this? Like, there was no caddying jobs at seven. Sorry, nothing against it, but there was no caddying jobs at 14. I mean,
yeah, the Homestead Hotel Golf Course, which is now like a massive golf resort in Virginia, Hot Springs, Virginia.
That'd be so
started
much fun.
Caddying. Yeah. At seven, he was an all-around athlete. Like, he played center on his high school basketball team. He was a pitcher and an outfielder on the baseball team. He played running back on the football team, and he was a self-taught golfer.
Because
they didn't have golf teams.
This is the guy that we first see. I mean, one of the first, like, an athlete playing golf. Like, everybody freaked out when Tiger Woods came in because he had a different body type. He had, you know, he just played golf, and he played golf incredibly well, but he was more built. He was more muscular.
Like,
and it seems that Sam Snead was that first prototype, if you may. Like, I mean, you know, he's playing other sports. He's seeing the team aspect and obviously learning him by himself, which is
yeah,
a hell of a job, his own golfing, you know, becoming his own golfer.
So he got his first assistant pro job at 19 at the Homestead Club, which is where he'd been caddying now for about 12 years yeah. at this point. After that, he moved to the Greenbrier in 1935, so 4 years later, and was the playing professional at that club. And then a year later, in 1936, at 24 years old, he actually joined the PGA Tour.
That's, I mean, so I worked at Chambers Bay. If you, it's in the Pacific Northwest. If you've had a chance, I knew some of the assistant pros, and they were not 19. I mean, like they, like we're talking like 26, 27, 30s. I mean, I think the pro there now, he's a great guy. He might be in his early 40s. Sam Snead was an assistant pro at 19. Like,
yeah, cause they're playing, you know, nowadays the guys, you go to college for four years and you're playing golf. You're on their golf team. And then maybe you try and go through the amateur ranks for a couple of years. Yeah. So now you're 24.
Well, and it's trying to get your Q card. It's trying to get like, it's your certificate still. Like you're going through classes of like the PGA.
Part of it is too, is you can't really, nowadays you can't really have a club job because if you're trying to to be pro, you're going to be traveling so much that you're not going to be able to have a normal job.
Yeah,
so
no, not
part of it is the structure's just changed.
Man.
He, 24 is when he became pro.
That's crazy. I mean, that's great. I mean, great. But that's sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to be pro on the PGA Tour at 24. Like highest of life. I mean, you know, right there.
So he was immensely long off the tee, and that's in a creative shot maker, which, you know, there's a lot of guys that could shape shots back then, but his main thing was that he was really long off the tee. And this is kind of, again, golf in its infancy in North America. And he was one of the first true long ball hitters that was a good golfer.
Well, and finding that the as we said about Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan, like we're seeing that golf is translating or turning from the elitist sport into, I mean, not a journeyman sport, but like the everyman sport. But we're seeing that the everyman is consistent, you know, is all, I mean,
and these are the guys that are dominating
all
golf.
Three of them are dominating golf in this era before Jack Nicklaus, before I mean, like,
and there's Gene Sarazen too, like, he was not by any means coming from wealth,
no, but the showman of the bunch, I mean, you know, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely a louder character.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jeez. So he starts in 1936, he's pro. In 1937, he wins four times on the tour. So just to kind of harken back, Sam Snead, yes, he's won majors. He's an amazing champion and legend. But what people talk about Sam Snead is his PGA Tour wins. So he starts in 1937 with four, and he wins eight more times in 1938.
So 2 years in, so 12 yeah, wins already.
Straight consistency. I mean, that is all about keeping it level. I mean, he's winning against other great, I mean, against Hogan, against Nelson. I mean, he's winning against these other great athletes.
Yeah. So and then, and I mean, eight times, that's a lot.
In the year.
A lot
in the
of
year.
Wins in oh, one yeah. year. And to go back to, like, Byron Nelson, who had 18 wins in one season.
Yeah, oh.
It's like,
that's insane. That's,
that makes that, that number is just absolutely unbelievable.
But that was when, and I don't know if you have it in here, but I remember when we covered Byron Nelson. Is that when Snead and Hogan went to war?
It was just after. They were both coming back.
But they left. Yeah. I know. I remember
Snead
Byron
had an
Nelson.
Injury, yes. And Hogan was what played about half the season. Bobby Jones was at war still.
Yeah, because so. I mean, Hogan
there
eventually.
There were some other
yes.
things going on.
Yeah, I know Nelson had a very small, it was that wonderful, like, comet. I mean, he was that small set of greatness, truly, of insanely great. But I know Snead and a few others kind of took a back burner.
So, yeah, Snead, he takes the tour by storm first couple of years. He's got a promoter by the name of Fred Cochran who calls him a hillbilly force of nature. from the back creek of Virginia. So he becomes kind of the golf's prime attraction during this time frame, just before 1940.
Well, and they're playing exhibitions too. I mean, we got to remember why they. I mean, Snead was obviously probably smart in this. We got to remember why he has a promoter. I mean, he's trying to make money too. Yes, he's winning, and that's great. But he's probably playing exhibitions and trying to drum up as much, purse money as he can.
And this is really what got him going. And probably for a couple of years, he needed a promoter. But shortly after that, everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
So kind of going back to him and that where, we talked about him being called a hillbilly and stuff. as a boy and growing up in poor Virginia, he learned to play golf barefoot. And that was something that stuck with him, and I thought that was a really interesting fact that I read several times when doing the research on him, that he was a rhythm golfer, and he said he liked to feel oily when he was playing, so just a real fluid
swing. Yeah, if you look him up on – I've seen videos of him. If you look him up on YouTube and such, it's a very relaxed – like Hogan had this fundamental – beautiful swing, but you saw
it was mechanical.
Yes, very much so. He tried to dial it down. Sam Snead had this beautiful arc, and it was just this it was whooping. I mean, that's what it was. It was so wonderfully easy that I get frustrated because it's never that easy. Yeah. I mean, it's
exactly some of these guys, and again, these guys were playing an insane amount of golf. So,
but I love the idea of a rhythm golfer. I mean, it makes complete sense. If you've ever played golf,
it's a rhythm game.
Well, you can go birdie, or I mean, par, 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 birdie. It's all right, Chad owes everybody a beer. See how the phone went off there? That was good.
What a rookie moves. Turn the
rears
off.
If you've played golf and you have these like stretches of pars and then you drop a double bogey or you start seeing it trend the other way, I agree. It's so hard to get your brain out of that. That I love. I mean, like Chad was saying. So he in the 1942 Masters, he was off rhythm, and he removed his socks and shoes, and he played 9 holes just barefoot. And it's like that's awesome.
He found that if he did that, he could get himself grounded again, and he could get his game back.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I mean,
I played golf I think I've played a couple of rounds before barefoot, in Florida or something.
Totally messing around.
It's a totally different style of game, but it does kind of add a different factor that you don't really think about.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of fun. I'd suggest it for anybody who hasn't tried it before.
So are we thinking that we're going to kind of get into Snead's general description and such. Is he considered a tall golfer? I mean, is he like for the pros? I mean,
I don't think he's like a towering guy. He was 5'10".
I mean, that's
that's above average for that time frame.
Because I know Gene was kind of small. I mean, he was the Gene squire. Was he short, was that, yeah.
I think he's kind of in that Byron Nelson size.
Got you. Okay.
Not quite 6 foot, but just under 6 foot, which is still a tall guy.
Yeah.
For turn of the century, like 1900.
Sure.
Right around there. 6 feet was a tall person.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, he was 5'10", weighed about 185 for most of his life, which that's built. That's a pretty thick individual.
Yeah. And definitely a built golfer. I mean,
they say he's pretty classically figured and was naturally gifted and very, very athletic. That's the thing. If there's one thing to take away is that he was very naturally athletic. Not necessarily naturally gifted at golf, but
naturally understand. Athletic. Yes, yeah. That intangible that they say a lot of people have of just like being able to pick up games, right? I mean,
he was a multi-sport athlete.
Yeah.
He could run the 100-yard dash in 10 seconds, which is
fast.
That's flying.
I mean, that's fat.
When he was in his 70s, he could still from a stand. Still, he could kick the top of a 7-foot doorway.
That's insane.
So he was just very athletic, very flexible, and was just a really gifted.
Yeah,
gifted,
I mean, kind physical, of a gifted human, right? Like a gifted, just a gifted human.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. It's a, I'm seeing that, like, you, as you were saying, staying oily and staying loose. You know, his movements, they say they were musical, you know, in that sense of, I think, so to me, Sam Snead is one hell of a jazz player. I mean, in the sense of golf, right? He was creative with his shots. He obviously had to be if he won 82 golf tournaments, yeah. Right? Like, mm-hmm. He was playing, yes, he won probably some of them multiple, but he was playing every shot as if it was a new note, right? Everything had to be. So he taught himself banjo and trumpet by ear, surprisingly enough. So he was just a talented guy. I mean, and his profession happened to be a golfer. Yeah. I mean, that's
anyone who can teach themselves an instrument by ear is
that's
crazy. A special individual.
Yeah. So he wins 7 major championships total, right? He's got he's kind of compiling wins. I'm seeing here. His final major victory was perhaps his most memorable. Is that what we're going for?
Yeah.
So at the 1954 Masters, Snead tied after 72 holes with Ben Hogan and defeated him in an 18-hole playoff, 70-71. That's crazy talk. Like, you're playing against Ben Hogan and you beat him by one stroke in a playoff. Like, yeah.
That's still back in the day when they did
full 18.
Yeah, you'd played full 18. It wasn't sudden death.
I mean,
just picked some hard holes
in 54. So he turns pro. It's 18 years after he turns pro, right? Yeah. Or something like that. Like that.
Yeah, he turned pro in
18 years after, and you're going against Ben Hogan. I mean, you're going against your contemporary, straight up, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Whoo, man.
Yeah. And that's just kind of a story of his career. Just always flirting with the top. He may not have won them all, but he won a bunch.
Oh man!
But he was always near the top. Yeah, he ended up winning 82 total of PGA Tour events, 7 of which were majors. And getting into his later career, short putting was eventually what stopped Snead from winning. At his normal pace.
Really?
Yeah. The short putting ended up being his kind of demise. In 1965, Snead was 52 at this time. He became the oldest winner of a PGA Tour event and winning the Greater Greensboro Open, which is in...
At 62 is what you're saying? Or no?
At 52.
52. Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
52
I got
years
it. Yeah.
old, yeah. And he had won that for the 8th time. So that's just how long this guy played golf.
Well, so, and I did a real rough calculation, but he basically won in his 50-year career two tournaments every year. So so you extrapolate it all out, median, whether he didn't win some or he won one or he won none, he came in so hot that he won two tournaments every year for 50 years. Like, that's an insane amount of longevity and greatness. I mean, there's no way to other put it. Like, that's crazy.
So in 65, that was the last tournament that he won. And that at that point,
gotcha.
He had
there
been
we go.
Pro
yeah.
for 30 years. He had been playing for 30 years. So that was the last time that he won, but he's at 52 years old. So now let's go 8 years later, 1972.
He's 60.
He comes in 4th in the PGA Championship.
At 60.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
And even 2 years later, in 1974, mind you, he turned pro in 1935. This is 1974 now. He comes in 3rd place in the PGA Championship.
Wow. I mean, and you see a little bit of this. We have a fun quote. Desire is the most important thing in sport, he once said. I have it. Geez, no one has it more than I've got. You see this Gene Sarazen kind of, as opposed to Byron Nelson, right? Byron Nelson was a comet. He was amazing.
Coming in hot.
And leaving. Leaving, feeling good about his life. Loved golf for what it was, what it gave him, and then was out. But you see this competitor spirit really in Sarazen and Snead. I think we glossed over
I
something.
Snead just loved golf. He loved the competition.
Well, and so did Sarazen for that. I mean, they both played. I mean, they played and they opened things and did things like that for, I mean, until they were dead. I mean, ultimately, right? Yeah. I mean.
And you know, Sarazen, I think he was more of the, you know, the fierce competitor that never wanted to give an inch, whereas when I was doing the research on Snead, I never really saw a whole lot about, you know, personality-wise, you know.
Gotcha.
Heard he was a nice guy, and heard he was fun.
So he liked competing, but I mean, he just liked to be playing.
Yeah, but he
playing.
Was just there, and he loved to play, and he obviously did because he played for nearly, you know, 50 years.
So we have I think we mentioned the 82 official PGA Tour wins a good amount. What we kind of glossed over is that he claimed 140 worldwide. I mean,
I didn't have that exactly. It was just the research that I did. There were several places that said you could very confidently say at least 140 worldwide.
What?
So
what?
Probably
are you
more.
Talking about there, man? Like, how is that? How's that? I mean, you get 50 years of it, but I mean, and I get that probably besides Europe or you know the Isles, right? Scotland, Ireland, England for the beginning part where the Open is really great golfers. But come on. I mean 140 worldwide.
I mean a lot of guys nowadays, I mean, what are they playing? 20 a year? 25? And
maybe.
That's every other week. And that, you know,
and that's a lot. I mean,
before a major, though, they're probably not playing for 3-4 weeks before because they're getting dialed in for a major.
And I'm sure some are exhibition, but he's winning exhibitions. Yeah. I mean, he's winning exhibitions against people. Like it probably against really good golfers. I mean, that's so we have a fun quote from our friend Sarazen. I'm telling you, somebody, one of us.
We got to make a movie.
We got to. I mean, this guy's life is just bonkers.
We're not even doing a podcast on him and we keep talking about
he's so intriguing.
Yeah,
flamboyant and crazy. I mean, so it says Sam Snead, says Gene Sarazen, is the only person who came into the game possessing every physical attribute, a sound swing, power, a sturdy physique, and no bad habits. Like, that's legit, yo.
That's what it takes to set the record for most tour wins.
Yeah, the guy who created our sand wedge just gave incredible props to Sam Snead. So, I mean, that's awesome. That's so cool.
So I'll just do a few more fun facts here to kind of fill in some details, things we brushed over, and we'll finish up Sam Snead here.
Yeah,
He, like we said before, 7 majors, and those majors were 3 Masters, 3 PGAs, and 1 British Open in 1946.
Wow.
He led the money.
I mean, that was 10 years after he was pro. Winning. I mean, that's. Yeah. At St. Andrews, he's you're staking claims there. That's legit. Yeah. Like,
and just, you know, you set records like Byron Nelson set, and he was probably the hottest golfer for about a 10 to 15 year period, but then he was done. And Snead, you know, his first couple of years, we said he won 12 times,
which, hey, that's great.
And then he won a bunch of tournaments, you know, a bunch of times and that sort of thing. But the longevity is what got him, you know, the 82 wins. You said he averaged two a year.
But you're talking 50 years. I mean, you're talking like having that longevity. Tiger's probably won a little, but there's not a lot of golfers that are there, right? I mean, nowhere near there.
And everybody, golfers especially, they go through hot streaks and they go through some.
Yeah.
So there's probably some years where he didn't win any. There's probably some years he won 5, 10, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he was the lead on the money list 3 times. He won the Vardin Trophy 4 times, and he played on 7 Ryder Cup teams.
That's awesome. I mean, we got to talk. At some point, we're going to do some fun little, 15-minute little things on, like, the Vardin Trophy and Pebble Beach and these kind of great courses and great little
achievements, trophies.
But, I mean, you win the Vardin. It's the greatest golfer award. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's
the MVP.
It's for that year. It's not the Players' Championship. It is just you winning the Vardin Trophy. I mean, you're legit. I mean, you know, and he wins it four times in his storied career.
Yeah,
I know he had clubs. I remember I actually hit with clubs. Might have learned on them. They were not the greatest. They were persimmons.
You probably see him at like Goodwill and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're a great little
Hagen and like the Tommy Armour.
Tommy Armour.
You know,
there's
a lot of player branded clubs. And again, you know, if you're listening to this and you're not actually playing golf, you're not interested in playing golf, that's cool. But if you do want, there's golf clubs everywhere. So
there's varying
prices. And if you want to get into golf, maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that.
Yeah, just how maybe we both got started and how it's so incredibly easy. And you can get a relatively cheap set for... And you got to know you're not hitting 200 to 400 yards off the tee, but you got to know that like you can develop a swing, you can develop your rhythm, and that's what I mean. We talked about we're going to get into Ben Hogan at one point, but definitely Sarazen's a little bit different. He was very consistent, but definitely Byron Nelson and Sam Snead, and then when we cover Ben Hogan, they're consistent. I mean, they're it's the consistency.
Yeah,
that's what made golf what it is currently, right? Like yes, you have the stars and the meteoric rises, but you're watching swing consistency, course management consistency. You're continuing
to try and better yourself.
Yes.
Because as your body breaks down, I mean, he's playing into his 60s. Your body's not what it was 30 years ago. So continually getting better at your craft.
Or efficient. Learning your swing, it. Yes.
You know,
you're seeing a lot of we bring up Tiger, but you're seeing how many swing changes did he have? And he's had like, I think four or five.
And he's had back surgeries.
The
swing changes are because of that, because he still has to keep up with the distance and the power.
Absolutely.
And he has to generate it in different ways.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Sam Snead.
There we go.
He lived to watch Tiger Woods. You know, in his kind of first
seven years.
So,
well, because he had to see, because he retired in 2002. No, he died in 2002.
Died in 2002. So, and there's actually a little film clip that I saw where he was kind of talking about his thoughts on Tiger Woods, which is,
I love it.
This guy's a legend, and, you know, he's no longer with us now, obviously, but
so cool.
Died May 23rd, 2002 in Virginia. So he kind of always stayed close to his roots.
Always that hillbilly form. Son, always staying in Virginia. That's awesome.
I
like Sam Snead. He's the guy that, like, if you can constantly better yourself and play golf pure, if you want to think about it that way, and I mean, he just won. I mean, he was just a good golfer, and he did what worked for him. Like, he figured that out. So
yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to wrap. This is going to be the end of Sam Snead. We're going to have another one coming out here fairly shortly. Thanks for listening. And Dustin, you want to give them our contact info?
Yeah, our contact info, the easiest way, the best way, all this fun jazz, is golflegendspod@gmail.com. We would love, we know Oklahoma's out there. Somebody's out there, apparently.
Yeah.
But we would love an email. You can tell us we ramble too much. You can tell us, like, we like it, you don't like it, what you want to change.
We're amateurs in every sense,
not only on the links, but also on this strange podcast thing.
We like talking with each other. We like talking about golf. And this is something we both like, listening to podcasts, and we couldn't really find anything about golf that we
Let
us know what you think. Give us any
if you have people you want to cover. We have a pretty good list of major champions and like Sam Snead, very, you know, tournament champions and kind of the legends really of golf, obviously. But we'd love, like I said, it's golflegendspod@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. And that'd be great. So
till next time, everybody, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks so much.
If you enjoyed our show, please rate us on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @GolfLegendPod. If you have ideas on who we should cover or just want to drop us a line, please do @GolfLegendsPod@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back on the links in a week.